Today's message is, let's talk about preaching Jesus. Now, before we get too far into this message, I want you to understand this message is pointed at me for you. This message tells you what the Lord has told me from the beginning when He put me at the pulpit. So today, I'd like to preach to you and talk to you and discuss with you James, because it addresses scriptural perceptions that should be presented from the pulpit. And James does not miss an opportunity or mess around when it comes to talking about clear and direct messages. He addresses weak and shallow faith, joy and suffering, and the pride and the elitism in the body of Christ. I think what surprised me most in reading this chapter in James is when the first time I read it, I thought, boy, James is really, really getting to the point about you better be careful if you decide to be a preacher. And what he said here in James as he shoots across the bow is that not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who are teachers will be judged with great strictness. Now, in that time, there were many people that were running back and forth after the resurrection of Christ. They ran back and forth deciding what they were going to bring in from Judaism and what they were going to bring in under the new Christ and the new beliefs and what should be taught from the pulpit. And they had a struggle, as we all know. There were people going from town to town preaching that you needed to do this or you needed to do that to be right with God. And one of the things that I'm reminded of as I started into this reading is that from the pulpit, the Jewish leaders were deciding what was right and what was wrong. You couldn't fish on Sunday. In fact, on Sunday, if your house caught fire, you weren't allowed to go in and take your clothes and carry them out of the house. It was appropriate that you could put your clothes on while the fire is going on and walk out because you weren't laboring. You were leaving the fire. So what we find here is that many people who were in the leadership position would preach messages that would expand and go beyond what they were taught. And Jesus was very clear when he was walking around the Galilean Sea. And what he said to him is, you'll be judged for this. And he was talking to the Pharisees. And when he said you would be judged for this, he said, I will not be the one that calls you out on it. In fact, since you're set in the seat of Moses, Moses will be making the accusations against you. Now you can see as a preliminary what we as pastors need to be concerned with. Because when we step up to the pulpit, we are speaking to you about the Word of God, for God, to God's people. And if we're speaking to God's people, we have to be appropriate in what we lead them to understand. Because another part of Scripture says, if I teach an error, I'll be accountable for that. So if I tell you that it's okay to go out and rent a go-kart on Sunday afternoon and have fun with your family, I'm going to be accountable for that. Now that's a little silly on my part, but that's exactly what a lot of people get hung up on, is the silliness. And this is why we have to get the text right when we preach the Lord. When we preach Jesus to the people, we're preaching a communication of life, hope, something that we can tangibly hold on to day to day. Is it not true that Scripture says we continually think on the Lord? So if we continually think on the Lord, we must have the proper thoughts and the proper obedience to the Lord. And nothing is more important than the way we preach and present Jesus. Now, of course, no evangelist and no pastor would say that they're not preaching Jesus. After all, that's why we are called to the pulpit, to steady, to stay at the altar, to deal with life's problems, to help others find their way in a dark and dreary world. So how do we preach Jesus and be appropriate? Well, I can think of three different ways that we can get off on the wrong foot. So first of all, I want to talk to you about preaching a logistical Jesus. When presenting with the opportunity to deliver my first sermon, I asked myself, what am I going to preach about? What am I going to tell people? I'm just a kid from the farmlands. I was up in Tacoma, Washington. There's a community called Summit View that overlooks the valley, daffodils and cattle. And that's what I did. I bucked hay. I wrestled in high school and I bucked hay. And so I thought, Lord, I'm not very learned in the in-depth theology. So what am I going to preach? And Jesus put in my spirit through the Holy Spirit, pick up that rock. And I picked up a rock that appeared to be translucent. And he said, tell me what you see. And I began to describe the rock. And with much joy, I realized that the Lord was putting into my mouth words that describe that rock. And after a short period of time, I started understanding if I read his word and studied his word, that he would put words into my mouth. So what I discovered also was there was a list. It's called the safe list. Have you ever heard of that? Okay, the safe list is, what movies should we be able to watch? What songs can we hear? What's the appropriate thing to say to my neighbor? Am I going to preach the safe list? No, I'm not going to preach the safe list. That's the logistical Jesus. And today there's an ever-present danger of people in the pulpit preaching to you about what you should be feeling in your heart, how you should be led, how you should understand, how you should affiliate. I'll give you an example. For me to hear someone say to a man whose family is falling apart, you need to come to church. You need Jesus. Now that part I agree with. But when the man comes to church and he sits in the back row of the church for 3 months and his marriage continues to disintegrate and no one affiliates, his children go astray and no one gives him understanding, he gets up out of the back pew and walks out. We're preaching a logistical Jesus. You come to Jesus and he'll help you. Aren't we supposed to take him in? We're supposed to love on him. That's our charity. So when we get to that point, we start putting on airs in the logistical Jesus. And in that ever-present danger of dislikes and likes, we start preaching on the level of being part of the Godhead. Do you not find it a bit of a heresy to tell God that he needs to rewrite the Bible? I think so too. I think what God has said to all of us in Scripture has stood the test of time. It's gone beyond anything that I could ever say to you, and it's made much more sense because our Father and our Savior and the Holy Spirit talks to you simply through his heart. He doesn't complicate the walk. And he speaks to each one of us individually in a tone and a word that we can grasp. In Matthew 15:9, but in vain they do worship me, teaching from doctrine the commandments of men. It's better to simply preach faithfully the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit do His work in the hearts of the people who serve Him. There's nothing we're going to say that will ever surpass the love of Jesus Christ. The second type of preaching is what I call preaching a cultural acceptable Jesus. There's an opportunity here to reach past the logistical Jesus. And it's a Jesus who's easy and comfortable for everyone to understand. A cultural acceptable Jesus. A Jesus who is not as angry as that old, hard to understand Old Testament. You know what I'm talking about. That slap on the back Jesus. That easy to get along with Jesus. That Jesus who offers a kind of cheap and easy grace. Since Jesus is so human, not much faith is required to depend on Him. And in this Jesus, when we're going through our trials and tribulations, of course we expect Him to make sure that when we go to the mailbox, there's a check in there to pay the light bill. This cheap and easy Jesus is not who we preach. It's not what kept this church open for all this length of time. It's not the Jesus when I walked into the Christian Bible store yesterday and had the proprietor of the store say, "So which church are you going to attend?" And I said, "We're going to attend First Christian." And he goes, "Oh, that's a good church. I've never heard gossip come out of that church. I've never heard dissension. I've never even heard of a split taking place. That's a family that keeps it within their own family. That's a family that loves on one another." And yes, we're all going to have those points of time where we don't see eye to eye. But the place that we meet, the place that we meet together is on our knees. We pray to a God that will resolve these problems. And that's what this church has done. And that's why your reputation precedes you out of this building. We do a disservice to God when we do this kind of preaching about the kingdom. We make everybody think, "Oh, it's got to be easy to be a Christian." As I look around, I don't see one person smiling, because it's not easy to be a Christian. It takes a concerted, focused effort to love our Jesus, because He loves us and He's always made a way for us in the dark. We might not see where we're going through those trials and those tribulations, but when we come out the other side and we look back over our shoulder and we see the things that Jesus has moved out of our way, the things He's made available to us, we're no longer able to recognize an acceptable cultural Jesus, but one that truly loves us, so that our witness of our Savior and our friend can testify to our neighbor about Jesus and what He does for us. And how it strengthens us when He brings us through those cultural differences. The other one that I find very interesting is a Jesus who looks a lot like us. You ever notice that people always want to debate what Jesus looks like? He's got blue eyes. He's got long hair. No, he's got short hair. No, he wears a three-piece suit. Aren't you glad that Jesus is Jesus? I am so glad. I'm grateful to live in America. I'm grateful to be an American citizen. When the national anthem plays at a ball game or in a public place, I get teary. But as an American Christian, we have to be careful not to baptize our patriotism as a Christian doctrine. We have to be careful. We have to be wise not to import our cultural biases into Scripture and miss out on Christ, who is calling out a people from every nation, every tribe, and every language. That's our Jesus. He didn't come for just America. He came for everybody. What's really surprising, recently Mickey and I, excuse me, I have a runny nose. I get that when I get nervous. Mickey and I, while preaching the gospel and doing some music in an RV park recently, were introduced to a couple to a video of a pastor they thought very highly of. In fact, I think they referred to him as anointed. And I was speechless when I seen the video. The pastor's message, which sounded more like a convention for politicians than anything about the Lord. In fact, the only thing in the message that I heard that was could even be interpreted as spiritual was the hymns that were played. He quoted more Thomas Jefferson. He quoted Abraham Lincoln from the pulpit, but he quoted no scripture. And I was aghast that someone would refer to him as anointed of the Lord. But again, that's what we're talking about. That's what we're discussing here today. Everyone should and needs to hear about Christ, his ministry, his purpose, his death, burial, resurrection, and most of all, his covenant with each one of you. So I ask you deeply to consider, what did Jesus really teach us when he wandered around the Galilean Sea? He taught us to evangelize. He taught us to reach out beyond ourselves. Not go with a group of friends over here and tell this group of people how to live. He took two people and sent them this direction. And he took two and sent them this direction. And of the 70 that came back, they proclaimed the authority of Jesus. We cast out demons. We healed the lame. We were amazed by the authority that your name brought when we presented it. That's the Jesus we're supposed to talk about. We should restrain and desire for an easy amen and an appeal for political or public preferences. But instead, we should exuberantly go out and present Jesus Christ to this world. We should celebrate someone who deeply loves us with an agape love. A love that he would lay down his life for anyone in this room and has. I'm reminded of the celebration when we pass on, each one of us, when we've taken the Lord seriously into our life. Do you remember in Scripture when Stephen was being stoned? He didn't say, I see Jesus in heaven. He didn't say, I just see him at the right hand of our Father. He said, I see Jesus standing. Jesus welcoming him home. That's what he's going to do for you too. You are his children. You are his lost child. And he's going to stand up for you when you come home. And how do I know that? Because the Lord has asked me to preach his word faithfully to you. He has asked me to deliver to you only what he has asked you to understand by faith, by love, and by dedication. For if I have no charity, I have nothing. And in that, we are all invited into the family of God. By that, we are all welcomed into the kingdom hereafter. And by His love, and by His grace, and His mercy, He recognizes that each one of us, once He's come into our heart and supped with us, that we are given the opportunity to overcome. Get over yourself, Mike. No one come to hear you preach about the Republican or Democratic Party. Get over yourself, Mike. No one has come in here for you to direct their lives on what's right and wrong. Preach my word. Show my love. Stay at the altar for those in need. Feed my sheep, Peter. I take this job very, very seriously. And should you have any questions of me at any time, we together will open Scripture and we together will discern what the Lord is trying to say to each one of you. Amen. Amen. I love you all. I look forward to being your pastor for a long, long time.